Morning. It's good to be in the Lord's house, is it not? And Matt, thank you for the music and the praise team. Thank you very much. And good to worship the Lord. Well, I want to begin by wishing all of you fathers out there a happy Father's Day. We do have a kind of a goodie bag for all of you fathers that are out there. And any adult man of Calvary Baptist Church, we're opening it up that way. After our service this morning, I believe Bill Rand's Sunday school class will be handing out some kind of a little goodie bag for the fathers and the adult men of Calvary Baptist Church. So be sure and get your little goodie bag. Yesterday morning, we met at the church here at 6 o'clock in the morning with the youth, and we loaded up the vans, and by 6:30, they were on the road. We had a time of prayer together and sent them off. Somewhere around 2 o'clock, I got a text from my daughter that she was hungry, she was starving, and then finally I said, yes, we finally ate. And they arrived in Pennsylvania, safe and sound, around 6 or 6:30, I believe Rachel called us and talked with Paula. They had met with the pastor and his wife, and they've got two small children and a four-year-old boy that gave them a tour of the church, and she said that he talked nonstop. It's a little bitty church, kind of in the hills of Pennsylvania, in a kind of a rural farming community. Rachel said when you step out the hotel room, you can smell the pig farms that are around, and the cornfields are around. It's a small community of around 5,000, but the hotel that they're staying in is kind of in the next community, and this afternoon and tomorrow, they'll be passing out flyers in three communities. So the pastor has targeted three different small farming communities for this Vacation Bible School. And so be in prayer for our youth as they pass out flyers this afternoon and begin to lead a Vacation Bible School. And just pray that God would use our youth in a very special way, and pray for the children and the families that might come to this Vacation Bible School. My daughter Amy gave me this friendship bracelet that she made, and I was supposed to wear that while she was gone. I have no idea how to take this thing off. The knots and everything, but Amy gave that to me before she left, so Dad wear that for me, so I'm doing that. So that's the news about our youth. I have a very special announcement I'd like to make this morning, too, and that is that T and Mylene are expecting their third child. T and Mylene. So congratulations for T and Mylene. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do indeed need you every hour. Father, we need you more than the food that we eat and the water we drink. And Father, I just pray that you would just meet with us here in this hour. And Father, I just pray that you would speak to all of us through your word, that this would just be a precious time in your presence. Father, thank you for your word that brings truth and clarity to our lives. And Father, we do pray for our youth. We pray for the pastor and his wife in Pennsylvania. And that, Father, that you just use this for his church in reaching out to families in his community that do not know Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask that you would use this in the lives of our youth, that, Father, you would do a work in their hearts and their lives, and they would learn what it is to minister in the name of Jesus Christ. And, Father, I just pray that you would just bless their week there and that you'd bring them home safe and sound to us. And, Father, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5:22, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." Verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself up for her." Then in chapter 6, verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Don't you just love the Word of God? It is crystal clear. It is straightforward. It's simple. I didn't say it's easy. It's simple to understand. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Children, obey your parents because this is right. Honor your father and your mother. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Don't make them angry, but bring them up in the teaching and the instruction of the Lord. Sin always complicates things. Sin always makes things difficult, hard to understand. Sin always muddies the waters up and makes things murky and unclear, confusing. But here Paul is writing to these Christians, and he tells them in Ephesians 2, you were spiritually dead, and God made you alive in Christ. Now, therefore, in view of who you are, that you've been made alive in Christ, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. And fathers, teach your children about the Lord. Today is Father's Day, and I would like to speak to the fathers of Calvary Baptist Church. And I would like to say that primarily, the responsibility for the home falls into our lap. Now, I know that moms have a vital and important role in raising our children. Moms are there moment by moment, day by day, teaching our children. But fathers, who are at work most of the time, we are ultimately responsible for the welfare of our marriages and of our children. That falls to us. That's our responsibility. If my wife is having difficulty, if she's having a problem, or if we're having a problem with our children, Jesus is going to knock on my door. Paula will answer, and the Lord will say, good evening, Paula. Is Scott home? I need to talk to him. First and foremost, the responsibility falls to me. He will begin to question me about my marriage, and am I treating my wife the way Christ has commanded me? Then he's going to deal with my wife, and then he's going to talk to me about my children and what kind of father I'm being to my children, and is there something that is lacking, and am I making them angry? Paul says, guys, if you're making your kids angry, there may be something wrong with your parenting skills. You might want to look at it. And so this morning I just want to speak to us fathers. But I want to include our wives, our mothers. So this really could be entitled not only a goal for Christian fathers, but a goal for Christian parents. And I hope that there'll be application for us as a church as well. So what is the goal of Christian parenting? Last week I said the goal of Christian parenting is to cultivate in the lives of our children a heart for God. This morning I just want to kind of hit it from a different angle. He tells us here that we are to bring up our children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. In other words, the first thing that we have to do as parents is to realize the responsibility that God has given us in our children. They're not our property. They do not ultimately belong to us. They've been given to us by God. Why has God given these children to us? What's the purpose? Are we there to teach them how to do laundry and to fold the clothes and to set the table and to put the plates and the dishes on the table and to get the glasses of ice water? Are we there primarily to teach them those things? Yes, we need to teach our children how to be responsible in the home. We want to teach our children good morals. We want them to have behavior that is acceptable. But the thing that makes it different here for Christians is this whole instruction about bringing them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Our primary goal as Christians is to teach our children about the Lord and who He is. Here, Paul wants us to see the greatness of our lives, that we are responsible for the souls of our children. When your wife comes home and tells you, "I'm pregnant," a human being has come into existence that did not exist before. How long is that child going to be in existence? Forever. Either in the presence of God or eternally separated from God. I was at a conference many years ago with Ted Tripp entitled Shepherding a Child's Heart. And it was down in Oak Brook. And he told this story. He said he had a friend in the Philadelphia area who was a master craftsman at making bows for violins. And his boss came to him one day and told him, he said, "If you would dedicate yourself to this craft, you could be the greatest violin bow maker in the past 300 years. And Ted Tripp's friend said, "You know, I thought about it." And then he said, "I told my boss," he said, "I cannot dedicate myself to this craft. You're requiring me to dedicate some 14, 15 hours a day to this craft to become the greatest bow maker in the past 300 years. He said, "I can't do that because," he said, "I got two boys at home." And he said, "In 100 years from now, those boys will either be in the presence of God, enjoying the glory of God throughout all eternity, or they're going to be eternally separated from God." So that's our responsibility as Christian parents. Wow. Is that an awesome responsibility or what? There's a TV show that my kids have been watching. I think it's called Dog Whispers. The whole show is dedicated on training your dog. Now, you and I know it's not easy to train an animal, whether it's a dog or a horse or any other animal. You have to dedicate time and attention for the training of that animal. You've got to make sure it's got the proper diet. You got to make sure there's some kind of an exercise program. You got to make sure that it has proper bedding. You got to make sure that it has the proper shots lest some disease come and harm it physically and its health. And you think about, we spend so much time and attention with animals. How much time and attention do we give as Christian parents thinking about our children? And what's our goal as parents? What are we shooting for? Do you have anything in mind, or are you just winging it from day to day? Fathers, maybe you're in charge of a great company, a massive company. You know the product that you build. You know the supplies that you need to make this product. You see this product made, and then it's packaged, and then it's shipped, and there's a distribution center, and you're aware of customer service and how you're going to handle that, and you're aware of the accounting side of it and the cash flow in the company, and you're aware of all that is going on in your business and your company. But how many of us stop and think about our children, and how much are we paying attention to them? When a child comes into the world, we need to stop and realize that this is an awesome responsibility God's given us, to teach our children about the Lord. And maybe you're not a parent here this morning, but maybe you're a grandma or a grandpa or an aunt or an uncle. You may have some nieces and nephews. some grandson or a granddaughter that doesn't know the Lord. You may be the only Christian in your family. And it may be that God is calling you to come alongside and make sure that these nieces and these nephews receive instruction and teaching about the Lord. Now, if you're going to take a trip, like our youth did yesterday, and you're going to go from Elgin to Pennsylvania, not only do you need to know where you're going, you need to know what the vehicle is going to be. What kind of vehicle are we going to have? What do you know about your car? Well, it's got to have gasoline. You've got to check the oil. You've got to check the tires. You've got to check the belts to make sure that the vehicle can get you from point A to point B. What is the vehicle that God's given to us to raise our children? The vehicle that God's given to raise our children is called the family. What is the family supposed to be first and foremost? First and foremost, the family is to be a theological community. When we talk about a theological community, we're talking about theology. Theology is the study of God, His nature, His character, His attributes. So what we want to do as Christian parents is to teach our children that ultimately life is found living in the presence of God. And to teach our children they belong to God, they were made for God, and that life and joy and peace is found in knowing God. We go back to the Westminster Shorter Catechism. What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Somehow we need to communicate with our children, you were made by God, you belong to God, and your life is to be lived in the conscious presence of God. Today is Father's Day. And if you're a Christian here this morning, you have this great doctrine that God has become your heavenly Father. God is not the father of all mankind. He is the father of Christians. Those who have been born of the Spirit of God, they can own God as their father. Jesus said in John to a bunch of people, you're of your father, the devil. God's not your father. So we need to understand this is a very precious doctrine for Christians, that God has adopted us into His family. And He is our heavenly Father, and He loves us, and He cares for us. He's that great shepherd in Psalm 23 who leads us to the still waters and the green pastures, and to be able to communicate with our children what a wonderful God we have, and that they are to live their lives in the presence of this God and find meaning and purpose for their lives. So the family is to be a theological community where we teach our children about the Lord. But you know what else? And I don't know how to say this. I've tried to think about it all week long and not come up with a good way to say this. But not only is the family supposed to be a theological community, but you know, the family is also a sinful community. That is, when you and your wife get married, you married a sinful person. They married a sinful person. So what do you expect in your marriage? Probably conflict, because that's what sin does. And when you begin to have children and you have five or six of them, now you've got a whole house full of little sinners running around, okay? And you're going to have conflict, because that's what sin does. We see in our homes competition where there shouldn't be any competition. Brothers and sisters competing with one another. We see selfish acts being done. We see anger being expressed. We see irritability. Sin has made us all these rugged individualists where we want to sing with Frank Sinatra, "I did it my way." That's what sin has done. It has come into our community, the family, and has caused all kinds of problems with our relationships. We will fight over who ate the last Frosted Flakes. I was planning on eating that in the morning, and somebody got there before me. We'll argue about that. Somebody accidentally bumps you in the hallway, and now you're in a shoving match over an accident. We will express our anger and our irritability in the homes. We will argue over borrowed clothes that were not returned. We will argue over whose turn it is to use the car tonight. So, into this theological community where we're to teach our children, we also have this sinful community where sin is exposed. No place like the home is sin exposed. At work, we can kind of cover things, but at home, that's where people really get to know you. Your wife knows you. Your husband knows you. Your children know you. And it reveals to all of us our sin and our need for Christ. One of two rules will rule in your home. One is the rule of desire. This is what I want, and I don't care about you. This is what will make me happy. You see two children fighting over a toy. They're being selfish and they're saying, I want that toy, and they will rip it out of each other's hands. The other one begins to cry, and this one says, I don't care you're crying. I'm happy now because I got the toy. And that happens as they get older too. Your children will be ruled by their desires. This is what I want. This is what makes me happy. Or somehow as parents, we have to teach them to be ruled by love. That God has commanded us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to put others before ourselves. But inside this community called the family, we have sin that keeps popping up and revealing itself. So now what do? Fathers, mothers, our families are supposed to be a theological community where we teach our children about God. But we always see sin cropping up. The family also needs to be a redemptive community. That is, when we begin to see sin popping up, God is giving us an opportunity now to bring redemption to our children or to our wife or to our husband. I was listening this week to a CD by Paul David Tripp. He goes by these two names, and his brother's Ted Tripp. David Tripp, I was listening to these CDs by David Tripp this week, and he said his teenage son had talked to his best friend and said, I want you to lie for me. I want you to cover for me. I'm planning on going someplace that I know my parents will not approve of. And so he left telling his mom and dad that he's staying at his friend's house. While he went someplace he knew his parents would not approve. The boy got the feeling kind of guilty, and he told his mom. And then his mom called David Tripp, and he said, I was the pastor of the church. So imagine calling the pastor and telling him that your son is telling a lie. And so she shared with David Tripp that her son was not at their house, but had gone someplace else. And David says, I was upset. I was angry at my son. And he said, I was fuming. I could not wait for him to come home so I could just pounce on him. And then his wife said, I think you need to pray. And he said, I know exactly what I'm going to say. She said, no, I think you need to pray for you. So he said, he went into the room and he began to pray. And he said, I began to think about it. And he said, normally when sin crops up in a family, you don't say, thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to minister. You don't normally think that way. But that really is the challenge, that when sin begins to reveal itself in our families, we now have an opportunity to bring redemption to the situation. So David said, I waited for my son to come home. He came home. He said, I didn't pounce on him the minute he walked in the door. I let him get home. Settle in, went down to his room, put his stuff away. And he said, finally, I went down there, and I said, I'd like to talk to you. Would you mind? He said, I sat down on his bed and he said, son, do you know that God loves you? He said, yeah, I know. He said, no, I mean, do you really know that God loves you and cares for you? He said, who told you? And he said, son, you remember when you were little, I taught you that as a child, when you honor your father and your mother, you're in this circle of security. That as long as you are obeying mom and dad, you're under the security of God. And that when you get outside of that security and you rebel against mom and dad, you're going down this path of darkness and rebellion. And he said, son, I've come to you tonight on a rescue mission. Son, you're going down the wrong path here. You're going down the path of darkness. Is that the direction you want to go? And his son said, no, Dad, I don't want to go that way. And in the next few days, God did a wonderful thing in the life of his son. So you see the point I'm trying to make in all of this? Fathers, this is Father's Day. Our family is to be a theological community where we teach our children about God. And inside that community, sin is going to crop up all the time. And when sin crops up, it is now our responsibility to bring redemption to those situations. David Tripp was not only a pastor, but he's a counselor. And he said that there was a father and son that came into his office for counseling. And he says this is a scene that he sees many times in his counseling office. The father was there just kind of angry and upset. The young boy was kind of slouched over with his arms folded looking at the floor. Neither one of them wanted to be there for counseling. And David asked the father a question, but the father began to speak to the son. And this is what he said. He said, I've fed you and clothed you. I have taken you on great vacations. I did little league and swimming team with you. I taught you to drive. I bought a car for you. And what do I get from you? Nothing but a pile of grief. Look at you. Everything about you says loser. You've got no job. You're flunking school. You can't even keep your room clean. It's just a personal garbage dump. He says, when I was your age, I participated in sports. I had two jobs. I was an officer in my youth group. I held a B average. You could walk through my room and not step on yesterday's trash. I respected my parents. And he says, look at you. You're a loser. And David said, I listened to this guy blast his son. And he said, you know what the father was really saying to his son? He was saying to his son, I'm a winner. You're a loser. Look at me. I am responsible. I am successful. I played baseball. I got B's in sports. And you are a loser. But you know, David said, you know, really, the father and the son both needed redemption. The father needs to be redemption. He needs salvation from his self-righteousness. And there's a young teenage boy who needs some salvation for his irresponsibility. You see a little bit what I'm trying to say this morning? That our homes are a theological community where we're to teach our children about God. Sin is going to crop up in everyday moments. Every situation that comes up, arguing over breakfast, is a situation where you can teach your children and bring redemption to those kinds of situations. Talk about God. And you know what? When sin comes into our lives, you can either deny it and blame other people, or you can repent of it. When you get angry and irritated with your children, you can go into their bedroom and say, son, I'm sorry. Dad got angry and upset. You don't want to go in there and say, well, you know, I've been working 45 hours and doing this and that, and that's why I'm... You can say, son, I'm sorry. I've sinned against you and I've sinned against God. That's bringing redemption into your families. I want to end this evening, this morning, looking at one example of a godly father, where would you go if you were up here this morning and you want to give an example from the Bible about a godly father? Where would you go? Thought about Abraham. That's quite a story. Asked to offer his son. Where would you go to give an example to Calvary Baptist Church about a godly father? Thought about that. Go to the book of Job. Book of Job, chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Look at what it says about Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. Job's right in front of the Psalms. If you find the Psalms, just go to your left. I'll give a few of you a moment to find Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. That's the character of Job. He was a blameless man, and he feared God and turned away from evil. There was a consciousness of God in his life and living his life in the reality of who God is. And that consciousness was so real that it caused him to turn away from every evil. Remember on our John Piper series where he talked about every sin is a temptation to draw you away from the glory and the greatness of God and tell you this sin offers you more than the Lord offers you. But Job was a righteous man and he feared God and he turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. So that this man was the greatest in all the people of the East. Look what's being said about him. Look at God's blessing upon his life. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, probably their birthday. And they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them. For Job said, "It may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. You get the picture? There's a simplicity to this man's life. You could boil this man's life down that they say he's the greatest man in all the East. He was a God-fearing man. And he was concerned about his children. And he recognized that possibility, sin has come into my family, and I'm going to intercede. I'm going to bring redemption for my children. And he rises early. Why does he say that? You know what? I found people rise up early in the morning when it's something they really desire to do. My brother-in-law, Chang, he has no trouble getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go fishing because he loves to fish. It says here that Job rose up early in the morning. Why? Because he had such a sense of urgency that I'm going to intercede on behalf of my children because there may be some sin issues here. That's the kind of man Job was. He was a man who had this theological community. He lived his life in the presence of God. He understood and recognizes that sin comes into our families, and he's there interceding to bring redemption to his families. And of course, later on, you know, everything's taken from him. And it says he bowed down and worshiped the Lord. And he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He rests in the absolute sovereignty and goodness of God. Fathers, parents, this is our calling at Calvary Baptist Church, to have families that are theologically minded, recognize that sin is going to come up, and use those opportunities when sin reveals itself to bring redemption to your children and to your family. And Job sets a good example for us of a man who did that. Let's stand and have a closing hymn.